الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the discussion on the explaining of faith in Islam, and we covered the first part, and that is the meaning of Iman, the meaning of faith, and as well as the belief in Allah, the first pillar. And we spoke about the first part of the belief in Allah, and that is the belief in His existence. Now there comes the following question: how to respond to the Dahris? Dahris, we know that the Dahris, who are many nowadays, a Dahri refers to the people who deny the existence of Allah, and they claim that Ad-Dahr, meaning time, manages and disposes the affairs of the world. Allah spoke about them in the Quran. In fact, in Surah Al-Jathiyah 45:24, where Allah says, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ وَمَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. And they say, there is nothing but our life of this world. We die and we live, and nothing destroys us except Ad-Dahr, except time. And they have no knowledge of it, they only conjecture. In fact, also the Prophet ﷺ said, يُؤْذِينِي إِبْنُ آدَمْ يَسُبُّ الدَّهْرَ وَأَنَا الدَّهْرَ بِيَدِيَ الْأَمْرُ أُقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ. In the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, the son of Adam annoys me, for he abuses Ad-Dahr, abuses time, though I am Ad-Dahr, I am time. In my hands are all things, and I cause the revolution of day and night. The statement in this hadith, which is an agreed upon hadith, the statement, I am Ad-Dahr, I am time, means that Allah is the one who manages time, as explained in the hadith itself, where it came right after he said, I am time. He said, in my hands are all things. All things, meaning including time. And Allah is the one who created everything and who disposes the affairs of the thing, including time. And therefore, it is wrong, therefore, to attribute anything to time. So the question came, we know that these Dahris, now you know what it meaning, the Dahris who ascribe, deny the existence of Allah, and they claim that that the time manages and disposes the affairs. We know that the Dahris, who are many nowadays and who are considered from the intellect because they think and infer, are agreed upon the belief in the non-existence of Allah, the mighty and majestic. So how to respond to the people like this? The answer: first, I would like to comment on your saying that they are intellectual. So if you mean by intellect that of contemplation, then yes, they are intellectuals who contemplate and understand. And if you mean by that the maturity of the intellect and its following of the right way in its affairs, then they are not intellectuals. That's why Allah described the disbelievers as deaf, dumb, and blind. So they have no sense. They are, however, intellectuals having the intellect of contemplation, through which evidence is established upon them. In reality, when they say that Allah does not exist, they say this out of arrogance. Otherwise, they know it is impossible that an erected door makes itself exist, nor does it make itself stand upright. They know that it is inevitable that such door needed a carpenter or a blacksmith to build. It is also certain that it needed a construction worker to install. Indeed, they know the food they eat and the water they drink definitely is in need of someone to produce, and that the food is in need of someone to sow its seeds. They also know that it is impossible for anyone from the people to create such seed produce, nor to make its seed grow to become a standing crop having stems and bearing fruits. They know all of this, and they know that this is something which humans are incapable of doing. They, however, are being arrogant, and there is no benefit in debating with an arrogant. He will never accept the truth, no matter what it may be. If you tell him this is the sun and it is right before him, he will not accept. It is a waste of time to argue with people of this kind, and as stated by some scholars, the way to invite them is to contend with them in fight, not in debate. Now, the Iman, the belief and its pillars, we continue. What are the pillars of Iman, of faith? The answer: the Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and Al-Qadr, pre-decree, its good and its evil. We already have discussed the matter of belief in Allah. As to the issue of the belief in the angels, we say that they are creatures from the world of the unperceived realities, the hidden, the unseen, whom Allah, the most mighty and most majestic, created from light and made them submissive to His command. Allah states in Surah Al-Anbiya 20:21-20, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They, the angels, glorify Allah's praises night and day, and they never slacken to do so. Also in Surah At-Tahrim, which is Surah 66, verse 6, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They disobey not Allah in that which He commands them, but they do that which they are commanded. The angels are of various kinds with respect to their deeds, tasks and levels. Jibreel, Gabriel alayhi salam, is entrusted with al-wahi, with the revelation. He brings down the revelation from Allah upon His messengers, as He, the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ. As in Surah Al-Shu'ara 26:193-195, truly, which the trustworthy Ruh, Spirit, has brought this Quran down upon your heart, O Muhammad, that you may be one of the warners in plain Arabic tongue. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ, as in Surah Al-Nahl 16:102. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Ruhul Qudus, Jibreel, the pure spirit, has brought it, the Quran, from your Lord in truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel twice in the actual shape. Once on the actual shape that he had been created upon. Once he saw him in his genuine figure, having 600 wings covering the whole horizon, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 455 and 457. This is concerning Jibreel. The other angel is Mika'il, one of the great angels whom Allah, the most mighty and most majestic, has entrusted with the duty of looking after rainfall and the growth of plants by rainfall. Israfil is also one of the great angels whom Allah, the most mighty and most majestic, has entrusted with blowing the horn. Blowing the horn. He is also one of the great angels who bear the magnificent throne. He is also one of the great angels who bear the magnificent arsh, the throne of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ used to mention the names of these three angels upon the beginning, after takbir of the night prayer of Salatul Layl, of the night prayer, saying, Allahumma Rabba Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil, Fatir as-samawati wal-ardi, عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. O Allah, the Rabb of Jibril, the Lord of Jibril and Mikael and Israfil, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knows the world of the unseen and of ash-shahada, what is seen. You judge amongst your slaves about that wherein they used to differ. Guide me by your leave to the truth of that wherein you differed, and you guide whom you will to a straight path. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim, and it is a very important hadith to benefit. Meaning, if a person is not sure about the way of guidance, hearing this and hearing that, and he is confused regarding a matter, so he seeks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making this dua and the night prayers upon the beginning after the takbir and the salah. And I will repeat that dua. O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knows the world of the unseen and of ash-shahada, meaning what is seen. You judge amongst your slaves about that wherein they used to differ. Guide me by your leave to the truth of that wherein they differed. And you guide whom you will to a straight path. The reason for mentioning these three angels is because each one of them is entrusted with that which comprises life, and the resurrection from death is considered life. So as far as we know, those three are the best of the angels. Among them is the angel of death, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, whose duty is to take the souls of the living at the point of death. Amongst them also are two angels who are entrusted with recording the deeds of each person, one on his right and one on his left. There are angels who are in charge of attending the circles of knowledge. Whoever needs more details about this subject, then let him focus on the works of the scholars in details regarding the angels. But inshallah, this is suffice. Now, the belief in the angels, are there other things related to the belief in the angels? The answer, it remains to be said that the belief in the angels, and you know, we mentioned that there are other angels as well, and let's mention some of them. Those entrusted with the embryos in the womb, Malik, who is entrusted to guard the hellfire, those whose duty is to question the deceased when he is placed in the grave, asking him who is his Rabb, who is his Lord, his Deen, his religion and his Prophet, and those who take stand at every gate of the mosque to write the names of the people chronologically, and those welcoming the believers when they enter paradise. So back to this question, are there other things related to the belief in the angels? The answer, it remains to be said that the belief in the angels, may Allah salah and salam be upon them, is of two types, general and detailed belief. A general one and a detailed one. Those whose names are we know of, then we must believe specifically in each and every one of them. Those whom we know of, then we must believe specifically in each and every one of them. We say we believe in Allah and in Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, the angel of death, Malik, who is entrusted in the guard of the fire, of the hellfire, and so forth. As for those whose names are unknown to us, then we have a general and comprehensive belief in all of them. The angels are many in number, so many that only Allah, the most mighty and most majestic, can enumerate them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the agreed upon hadith, في البيت المعمور الذي في السماء السابعة يدخله كل يوم 70,000 ملك ثم لا يعودون إليه آخر ما عليهم. In the much frequented house, that is in the seventh heaven, 70,000 angels enter it each day, praying in it every day, and then when they leave, they never return to it, but another group arrives every day. And this agreed upon hadith. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِن مَوْضِعِ أَرْبَعِ أَصَابِعٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ مَلَكٌ قَائِمٌ لِلَّهِ أَوْ رَاكِعٌ أَوْ سَاجِدٌ. In the hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others, and it was graded good by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not even the place for four fingers in the heavens except that it is occupied by an angel standing before Allah or bowing in ruku' or prostrating. We however don't know of them specifically and of their deeds and duties except to the extent that we were brought about, or those that were brought about by the shara', by the textual evidences, meaning from the Quran and or the authentic Sunnah. All that which the shara' detailed regarding their tasks, conditions and deeds is incumbent that we believe in it as it is detailed. As to the things that are not detailed, we must believe in them in general. Believing in the angels who possess from the abilities and powers that which is not possessed by humans is from the signs of Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. Accordingly, believing in them is a belief in Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the most high, and in his magnificent ability. It is incumbent that we love the angels because they are believers. It is incumbent that we love the angels because they are believers, and because they carry on the commands of Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. Anyone who is an enemy to anyone of them, anyone who is an enemy to anyone of them, meaning to any of the angels, is a kafir, is a disbeliever, is a kafir, is a disbeliever, as established in the saying of Allah the Most High, من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكال فإن الله عدو للكافرين. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, his angels, his messengers, Jibreel and Mikael, then verily Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. And he, Allah the Most High, also said, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, let him die in his fury, for indeed he has brought it, meaning this Quran, down to your heart by Allah's permission, confirming what came before it, meaning the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel. This is pertaining to the belief in the angels. Now, the belief in the books. Question. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. What about the third pillar of Iman? What about the third pillar of faith, meaning the belief in the books? The answer. the third pillar, the third pillar of belief in Islam is the belief in the books of Allah, is in the belief in the books of Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. These are the books that Allah has sent down upon His messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Indeed, the Quran obviously implies that none of the messengers were sent except that Allah has revealed with him a book, as He, the Most High, says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا رُسُلَنَا, in Surah Al-Hadid 57:25. Okay. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Indeed, we have sent our messengers with clear proofs. We have sent our messengers with clear proofs and have revealed with them the books and the balance, that mankind may keep up justice. He, Allah the Most High, also says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:213. Mankind were one community. Mankind were one community, meaning on Tawheed, on believing in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah. And Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings, and with them He sent down the scripture in truth, to judge between people in matters wherein they differed. Now, the way of belief in these books is to have general and comprehensive belief in all of them. So the belief in the books is to have a general and comprehensive belief in all of them. Whatever we knew of them by name, then we believe specifically in them. The Torah, the Injil, the Gospel, Al-Zabur, which is given down to Dawood alayhi salam, As-Suhuf, the scriptures of Abraham and Musa and Moses, and the Noble Quran, are specifically known to us. So we believe specifically in them. As for those for which we don't know by name, then we have general belief in all of them, because Allah burdens not a person beyond His scope. The question, however, is, how do we believe in these books? How do we believe in these books? We say that whatever had been authentically related to us from the reports about these books, then in any case it is obligatory upon us to believe in them, because they are from Allah. Now, concerning the legislations contained in these books, it is binding upon us to only act upon what is stated in the Noble Quran. As to those reports that we have no knowledge of their authenticity, then we give no opinion respecting them until their authenticity becomes clear to us, because these books were subjected to alterations, substitutions, modifications, as well as addition and omission. Question: what do you say regarding the fourth pillar of iman, of faith, belief in the messengers? The answer: the belief in the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them, is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to mankind messengers of their own, reciting unto them His verses and sanctifying them. The first of these messengers was Nuh alayhi salatu was salam. Before Nuh, however, no messenger was sent. Hereby we know the error of the historians who said that Idris alayhi salam was before Nuh. The reason is that Allah says in his book Al-Quran in Surah An-Nisa 4:163, Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wal nabiyina min ba'dihi. Indeed we sent revelation to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we sent revelation to Nuh, to Noah, and the prophets after him. And in the authentic hadith relating the story of intercession, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the people will come to Nuh and say, "You are the first of the messengers whom Allah sent to the people of the earth." And this is part of a long hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. You can see that in Al-Bukhari, for example, in volume 4, number 556. So people, when they will come to Nuh, they will say to him, "You are the first of the messengers whom Allah sent to the people of the earth." So there is no messenger therefore before Nuh, and no messenger after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah the Most High says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, as in Surah Al-Ahzab 30:40. Indeed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. Now, as to the descending of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, the son of Mary, at the end of time, he does not descend as a messenger entrusted to originate a new message. I will repeat, as to the descending of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, peace be upon him, the son of Mary, at the end of time, he does not descend as a messenger entrusted to originate a new message. Rather, he descends as a prophet ruling by the Sharia of Muhammad, by the laws of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is obligatory upon Jesus, upon Isa, and all other prophets to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah the Most High states in Surah Al-Imran 3:81, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And remember, when Allah took the covenant of the prophets, saying, "Take whatever I gave you from the book and hikmah," hikmah meaning understanding of the laws of Allah, "and afterwards there will come to you a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confirming what is with you. You must then believe and help him." Allah said, "Do you agree to it? And will you take up my covenant, which I conclude with you?" They said, "We agree." He said, "Then bear witness, and I am with you among the witnesses for this." This messenger who confirms what is with the prophets is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was authentically related from Ibn Abbas and others, may Allah be pleased with all of them. What's important therefore is to believe in the messengers according to what has been mentioned. That is, the first of them is Nuh, and the last is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the way of belief in them is that we believe and affirm whatever is narrated authentically from their reports, because it is from Allah. However, as for the laws revealed to them, it is not binding upon us to follow anything thereof except that which was brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was necessitated by the Sharia. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Regarding the particular messengers, anyone whom Allah or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made his name known to us, then we must specifically believe in him. As for those messengers whose names were not made known to us, then we have collective and general belief in all of them, just as we have said about the books and the angels. Now, what about how can the belief in the last day be? The belief in the last day. How can the belief in the last day be? The answer. The belief in the last day means the belief in the day when the hour will be established. Qiyam al-sa'ah. In Arabic it is Qiyam al-sa'ah. That is when the hour will be established. It is called the last day. Al-yawm al-akhir. It is called the last day. Al-yawm al-akhir. Since there is no day that comes after it. Indeed, man was nothing, then he was brought to exist in his mother's womb, then in this life. Afterwards, he will transfer to the life of the barzakh, which is literally the barrier. And this is a state experienced after death until the day of resurrection. Then to the day of resurrection. So, these are the five states of existence of man. First, nothing. Then he was brought to exist in the mother's womb. Then in this life. Then in the barzakh. Then in the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76, the chapter on man, 76, verse 1. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not been over a man a period of time when he was nothing to be mentioned? This is man's first state, being nothing to be mentioned. Afterwards, he came to exist in the womb of his mother. Then he came out, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl 16:78. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. In this regard, it is proper to speak about the trial in the grave, which is fitnatul qabr, the trial in the grave. This is that after the burial of the deceased, two angels will come to him and will ask him about his Rabb, his Lord, his deen, his religion, and his prophet. As for the believer, then Allah will make him firm on the true saying. He will reply, my Rabb, my Lord is Allah, and my deen, my religion is Islam, and my prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the unbeliever, he will say, I don't know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it too. Following this trial of the grave, there will be bliss or punishment until the day of resurrection. Whoever is from the non-Muslims will be in punishment until the day of resurrection. And whoever is from the disobedient Muslims, then he may be punished in his grave for a period known only to Allah. Subsequently, punishment will be lifted from befalling upon him. The punishment or the bliss in the grave occurs mainly upon the soul. The punishment or the bliss in the grave occurs mainly upon the soul. But the body may feel its pain, just as the punishment in this life inflicts the body, and the self may feel it. For example, in this life, beating befalls upon the body, and similarly the pain. The self may get affected and then become saddened and distressed. In the grave, however, the matter is different. Punishment or bliss occur on the soul, and there is no doubt, though, that some of this punishment or bliss befalls upon the body, either by the joy caused by the bliss or by the pain of agony caused by the torture. As for the time when the hour is established, that is on the day of the greatest resurrection, people will be raised from their graves to stand before Rabbul Alameen, Allah, the Lord of all creation, barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised, the skin cut off in the process of circumcision will return to its place, so that man is raised up from his grave complete, without any kind of defect, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:104, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. As we began the first creation when they were nothing, we shall repeat it, meaning after their death. Then the reckoning will take place, as it is stated in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And people will end up either in paradise, either in Al-Jannah, or in the hell fire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the hell fire and make us from the residents of paradise. Whoever enters paradise will live and remain therein forever and will not die. As for him who enters the hell fire, if he is from those who committed acts of disobedience and is not saved by way of intercession, or does not receive a special mercy or pardon from Allah, will eventually leave it after he is punished for what he deserves. He will not stay therein forever. As for the unbeliever, however, he will reside in it forever. Now, what about the pillar of the belief in the pre-decree, in Al-Qada wal-Qadr? The answer: the belief in Al-Qadr, the pre-decree, is one of the six pillars of faith in Islam, in Iman, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated to Jibreel, to Gabriel, when the latter asked him about Iman, about faith. This matter is of paramount importance. In fact, people disputed in this issue of Al-Qadr, of the pre-decree, for a long time, even during the time of the Prophet, even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people disputed and argued about it. Likewise, until this day, people are still in dispute. All praise is to Allah. The truth concerning Al-Qadr is clear and evident, so there is no need for disputing and arguing. And so, the belief in the pre-decree is to believe that Allah gave everything its due and decreed measure, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Furqan 25:2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And Allah created everything and gave everything its due and decreed measure. This measure which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pre-decreed is in accordance with His wisdom and in compliance with that which is necessitated by this wisdom from noble objectives and beneficial outcomes for the people in their worldly affairs and in the hereafter, paradise. The belief in Al-Qadr, in the pre-decree, centers upon four matters. The first rank, Al-Ilm, knowledge, which means to fully believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything with His knowledge, including that of the past, present, or the future, whether with regard to His actions or the actions of His creation. He has always and eternally known everything, both the general and the specific details. The proofs for this rank of Al-Qadr, which is Al-Ilm, which is knowledge, in the Quran and the Sunnah are many. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most blessed and the most high, states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Truly nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states in Surah Al-An'am in 6:59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. and with him are the keys of al-ghayb, the unperceived realities, the unseen. None knows them but he, and he knows whatever there is in of the earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls but he knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ, as in Surah Qaf 50:16. And indeed, we have created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him. Welcome back. And additionally, the Most High Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is all knower of what you do, in addition to other verses proving that the knowledge of Allah encompasses everything in general and in details. Anyone who denies the belief in this rank of Al-Qadr, the rank of knowledge, then he is an unbeliever, because he disbelieves Allah and His Messenger, as well as the general consensus of the Muslims, and because he defames the perfection of Allah. This is because the contrary of knowledge is either ignorance or forgetfulness, and both are imperfection. Indeed, Allah the Most High says about Moses alayhi salam, when Fir'aun the Pharaoh asked him, قَالَ فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. What about the generations of old? Musa said, the knowledge thereof is with my Rabb, with my Lord, in a record. My Lord is neither unaware nor he forgets. So he is not unaware, meaning he is not ignorant about anything of the future, nor does he forget anything of the past. The second rank in the belief in Al-Qadr is Al-Kitaba, writing, which means that Allah the Most High wrote the measures of everything until the establishment of the hour. In fact, as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, the qalam, he commanded it saying, write. The pen said, what should I write, my Lord? Allah said, write all that which will occur. At that time, the record of all that which will take place until the day of resurrection was written collectively and comprehensively. So Allah wrote the measures of everything in the preserved tablet in Ummul Kitab. This stage and the one before is proven by the saying of Allah the Most High, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ, as in Surah Al-Hajj 22:70. Do you not know that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and the earth? Verily it is all in the book, and it is something easy for Allah. He said what it means in this verse, it is all in the book, meaning that it is something known to Allah, and in the book refers to the preserved tablet. Furthermore, this writing is sometimes detailed, as in the case of the embryo in his mother's womb. After completing 4 months, Allah sends an angel to it, commanding him to write down 4 words recording its provisions, lifespan, actions, and whether it will be wretched or fortunate. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As it has been established in the authentic hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. In addition, there is the record written in the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, concerning what will occur over the whole year, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dukhan 4:44, verses 3 and 5, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين. We sent it, this Quran, down on a blessed night, the night of Qadr, which is Surah number 97 in the month of Ramadan. Verily we are warning those who disbelieve in the Tawheed, therein that night is decreed every matter of ordainment for the whole coming year. Amran, meaning a command of this Quran or the decree of every matter from us. Verily we are ever sending, meaning the messengers. The third rank, Al-Mashi'a, the will of Allah, which means that everything in existence, whether it is from those matters pertaining to Allah's actions or those matters pertaining to the actions of the created being, takes place, occurs by the will of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, as in 14:27, and Allah does what He wills. وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, and had He willed, He would have guided you all, mankind. And 11:118, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ, and if your Rabb Allah had so willed, He could surely have made mankind one nation, meaning all on Tawheed. And also He, the Most High, says, إِيَّشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, as in Surah Fatir 35:16, and if He willed, He could destroy you and bring about a new creation. These are in addition to many other texts that prove that His actions, Allah's actions, take place in accordance with His will, as He, the Most High, says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. In 2:253, if Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them, but they differed. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought, but Allah does what He likes. All of this is in accordance with His foreknowledge, wisdom and justice. And this is a clear text that Allah had willed the actions of the slave to occur, and that if He had willed not for him to act, he would not act. The fourth rank is creation or creating, Al-Khalq, and that is to believe that Allah is the creator of everything. For He is the creator and everything besides Him is created. Creatures are a creation of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Anything of their actions and sayings is a creation of Allah. And this is because man's sayings and actions are from man's attributes. Knowing that man is created, then his attributes are a creation of Allah. The proof for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, in 37:96, and Allah created you and your handiwork. Allah the Most High stated the creation of man and his actions as well. He said, وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, and your handiwork, proving that man's deeds are a creation of Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic. These are four ranks whereby the belief in Al-Qadr, in the pre-decree, cannot be completed except by believing in them. We repeat them, saying, first, we believe that Allah the Most High knows everything, both the general and the specific details, and that He wrote the decreed measures of everything in the preserved tablet. And thirdly, everything in existence exists by the will of Allah. And fourthly, Allah the Most High is the creator of everything. So if these four ranks are completed, or the belief in them is accomplished, then the person truly achieves the belief and the pre-decree. Then know that the belief and the pre-decree does not contradict the utilization of means. In fact, development, or rather deployment of the means, is something commanded by the law, by Sharia, and it occurs by reason of pre-decree. It occurs by reason of pre-decree, since causes bring forth their effects. Since causes bring forth their effects. And for this reason, it is mentioned that when Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, Umar ibn al-Khattab, was on his way to Ash-Sham, to Greater Syria, he was told that the country was inflicted by plague. Plague, P-L-A-G-U-E. He consulted with the Sahaba, he consulted with the companions, as to whether he should continue the journey or return to Al-Madinah. People disagreed about it. Then a decision was reached to return to Al-Madinah. When Umar, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, made up his mind, Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah, whom Umar used to respect and dignify, approached him and said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, why should you return to Al-Madinah? Are you running away from the pre-decree of Allah? Umar replied, we run away from the pre-decree of Allah to the pre-decree of Allah. Afterwards, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, who had been away in connection of some of his needs, returned and told them that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning the plague, quote, if you hear of its presence, meaning an outbreak of this disease, of the plague, of this epidemic, if you hear of its presence in a land, don't go to it. Reported by Al-Bukhari. Briefly, the relevant thing is the saying of Umar, we run away from the pre-decree of Allah to the pre-decree of Allah. This proves that taking the appropriate means is from what Allah has ordained. We know that if a man says, I will believe in Allah's pre-decree and that Allah will grant me a son without having a wife, if he says this, he would be considered from amongst the insane ones. Similarly, if he says, I believe in Al-Qadr, I believe in Allah's pre-decree, but I will not seek the means of sustenance, and that he didn't take on any means of sustenance, it would be considered foolishness. The belief in Al-Qadr, in the pre-decree, therefore, does not contradict the legally approved means or the correct physical means or approaches. As to the illusionary means, considered as means by their claimers, yet they are not, are really of no consequence and deserve no attention. They know that an uncertainty respecting the belief and the pre-decree is raised, though in reality, however, it is not. It is for someone to say, if my action is pre-decreed by Allah, then why should I be punished on committing a sin when it is something already pre-decreed by Allah? The response to this is to say, you have no proof in using Allah's pre-decree as an excuse for the sin you committed, because Allah Azza wa Jal did not compel you to commit such sin, and that when you embark on committing it, you don't have the knowledge that it is preordained upon you, because man does not know of what was pre-decreed except after it is manifested. So, before committing the sin, why did you not take into consideration that Allah has pre-decreed obedience on you and therefore you obey Him? Just as in your worldly affairs, you strive to take care of that which you consider good and you turn away from that which you see as evil, then why do you not treat yourself accordingly in affairs pertaining to the hereafter? And I believe that there is nobody, after being told that there are two roads that lead to Mecca, one is safe and facilitated and the other is dangerous and difficult, would take the dreadful and difficult road and then say that, quote, this has been pre-decreed for me, end of quote. He will certainly take the safe and easy road. Consequently, there is no difference if you are told that there is a road to paradise and another to the fire. So if you take the road to fire, then you are like the one who took the dreadful and rough road to Mecca. Yourself will criticize this man who took such a road. So why do you accept for yourself to take the road to the fire of hell and turn away from the road to bliss? And if man has a proof in pre-decree for committing sins, then it would not be removed by sending the messengers, since their sinful acts after the sending of the messengers would still be according to the pre-decree of Allah. There remains a brief statement regarding Al-Qadr, the pre-decree, and it pertains to the fact that belief in the pre-decree produces magnificent fruits affecting the conduct and the heart of man. Because if you believe that everything occurs by the pre-decree of Allah, then at times of delight you will give thanks to Allah, the mighty and majestic, and you don't become amazed with your own self. I will repeat, because if you believe that everything occurs by the pre-decree of Allah, then at times of delight you will give thanks to Allah, the mighty and majestic, and you don't become amazed with your own self. You don't also think that this matter occurred by your own power and strength. You do, however, believe that it is just a cause, in case you have done the necessary mean by which you have attained that which delights you, and that all the good is in the hand of Allah. So you will be more thankful for the blessing granted by Allah, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High. This will motivate you to carry on the obedience to Allah in accordance with that which He commanded you, and that you don't regard your own self having a favor upon Allah. Rather, you see that the favor is Allah's favor on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. As in chapter 49, verse 17, they regard as favor upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they have embraced Islam. Say, count not your Islam as a favor upon me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you, that He has guided you to the faith if you indeed are true. Similarly, if a calamity befalls you, you believe in Allah and submit without being regretful or afflicted with grief on that. Have you not given thought to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء لا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا وكذا لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. In the hadith reported by Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a strong believer is better and more lovable to Allah than a weak believer, and there is good in every one of them. Cherish that which gives you benefit, and seek help from Allah, and do not lose heart. And if anything in the form of trouble comes to you, don't say, if I had not done that, it would have not happened so and so, but say, Allah did that which He had pre-decreed, and He does whatever He wills, and that this if, quote unquote, if opens the way for the acting of shaitan, of Satan, by casting opposition to Allah's pre-decree in the heart. And I want to emphasize something here. In the hadith here, Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying, cherish that which gives you benefit. So don't indulge in things which are no benefit to you. And the highest benefit is for a person to know his deen properly and to know with whom he's going to be seeking the true knowledge. And this is for the best of his deen in this life and its manifestation on his life, and also for the outcome in the hereafter. So, in the belief and the pre-decree, there is rest to the soul and heart, and absence of grief at that which escaped, and of worry and distress at that which is to come. Allah the Most High says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. In Surah Al-Hadid 57:22-23, no calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but it is inscribed in the Book of Decrees, Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the Book of Decrees, before we bring it into existence. Verily this is easy, or that is easy for Allah, in order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, not to rejoice over things which has been given to you. As to the one who does not believe in the pre-decree, there is no doubt that he will grieve and regret at times of calamities, and Satan will open up for him every new way or possibility to confuse him and keep him dissatisfied, and that he will be pleased and become proud and deluded if prosperity befalls him. The iman, the belief in the pre-decree, however, prevents all of this. Now, as for this, alhamdulillah, therefore constitutes the belief in these six pillars, and this summarized discussion of all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Shaykh for his work on this subject and for his effort. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير. If there are any questions, then it is time for that.